next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. What's left in the tank for Montreal and Carolina? Is there any fantasy value in Columbus? The goalie master comes out of hiding to defend his throne. Plus, DFS advice heading into the weekend. Ring the register. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Fantasy hockey talk here on this Friday morning. Pete and Rob here with you. And Rob, how you doing today?
Feeling pretty good today, Pete. A lot of big action in the East last night. But before we break down that, we have goalie master to defend and reclaim his title. Dave, what's up, man?
Guys, first of all, I apologize for my Buffalo picks. And anyone out there who listened to me, because I probably cost you a lot of money, I apologize. But I kind of a little bit maybe have redeemed myself last night.
Total redemption. We were discussing at length the Bobrovsky versus Price matchup. It went the way of Bobrovsky. How about that? Maybe the first time in years that this guy's showed up for a playoff-type game and he gets the big win for fantasy owners.
Yeah, not only did I pretty much nail that game, but Rob asked me what the score was going to be, and I said 5-2 Columbus, and if not for an empty net goal with 3 minutes to go, that would have been the exact score. I just thought Columbus was going to come out the way they did. Bobrovsky was going to have a better game, and he did, and Columbus is in the driver's seat now for that wild card spot.
I can vouch for you, Dave. You did tell me 5-2. We have that in writing. Actually, it was over a text platform, so I can put that screenshot on the Instagram account at NHL Fantasy. Go follow it. But Dave, nice job. And you also had Thatcher Demko in net last night for your DFS lineup. How'd you get that one?
So I was looking, and I wanted Demko, and I stacked him with Quinn Hughes and Alex Edler, just three Canucks. You think that's not a great play, but got a goal and an assist. You got a shootout win. It was a really great game for those guys, and Demko played really well. It's kind of what the Canucks were hoping that they would get out of him, and you know, this is what fans in Vancouver want to see going forward.
And Quinn Hughes, we had him in stashed for a while, for a couple of weeks since he left University of Michigan, was banged up with the ankle injury, makes his debut finally, and he gets an assist and contributing right off the bat. He's worth owning here down the stretch for the final week and a half.
I'd go so far to say he's a must-own player. He was $3,500 in FanDuel Thursday, so look for that price to stay about the same for the remainder of the season. That is a must-own player in all formats. Repeat, a must-own player in all formats for the remainder of the season.
You know, I watched that overtime last night, and they had Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, and Brock Besser. Those three guys flying around for 5 minutes, that's a pretty good three if you want to build any lineups around those guys.
This team next year is going to be doing big things in the West. I mean, the fact that each line can now score, they've got a capable player, two on the back, and if they re-sign Edler, big-time scorers, big-time things coming in fantasy.
I saw Edler he's been around there for a while. He's has the most goals in Canucks history by a defenseman. That's pretty crazy. But, yeah, Alex Edler, I think he's played only 52 games, and he's got 31 mm-hmm. points with 15 on the power play. So this is a guy also, I mean, maybe not go too crazy having both in your lineup and riding too much on the Vancouver Canucks, but one of these two guys, if they're out there on the waiver wire, these are great defenseman adds for a position that is not too deep right now.
Yeah, you're right. The price on them is really good. You mentioned what Hughes was, and even Edler, he does everything, even in those leagues. He blocks shots, hits, the power play. He pretty much does it all for them.
Now, what if they do not re-sign Markstrom?
I mean, if they don't re-sign Markstrom, we think Demko's going to have, you know, the edge here. They want to see what they have in him, but you kind of need, yeah, it's tough. There's some other guys out there they could go after, but I think if they don't, that's great news for Demko, because let the guy play, let it be his team.
Markstrom's been really good this season, though, for fantasy. I mean, that's a player that I don't think any of us had in the preseason rankings. Surprisingly, he put up 25-plus wins. He's starting, up until Demko came up, he was starting pretty much almost every game. Anders Nielsen was shipped to Ottawa, so it was really him in a standalone situation. I think if they do re-sign him, you're probably going to handcuff Markstrom and Demko next year.
Yeah, I think that you nailed it. He's been a workhorse this year. I mean, even when they brought up Demko, remember he was injured for a while, wasn't getting any starts. So, yeah, Markstrom, nice little surprise. That said, moving forward, I think this is Demko's team. He's shown enough this year in a small sample size for it to be a timeshare to start next year. And then I think that, I think he's going to be worth targeting in late rounds because of what you said, they're a dark horse team. Them and the Coyotes, dark horse teams for the playoffs entering next year.
Right, so we talked a little about that huge game for Columbus last night. What do you think it means for Montreal, guys? You know, where are they now after that loss? I mean, what's going on there?
It's not looking good. And if you would have told me that they would be up 2-0 after the first period, I would have said that the Montreal Canadiens' winning probability would have been over 85% with Carey Price in net. The fact that they let that slip away, five unanswered goals, makes me think this is a semi going off a cliff here.
So Montreal still has the most difficult schedule based on opponent points percentage the rest of the way. Most of their game, all their games are against contending teams. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm a little bit more worried on this Friday morning about the Carolina Hurricanes because they are only 1 point ahead of the Canadiens and the Blue Jackets, both of whom are playing really well right now. So what's up with Carolina? What's up with Sebastian Aho? I just saw he's in a 9-game goal drought. He's their superstar player. The goaltending has been good enough, I think, over the past couple of weeks. Big-name players got to show up this time of year. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, McElhinney's under 900 in his past six starts. Mrazek's been playing pretty well, but I honestly think it kind of turned around yesterday when Justin Williams comes out and says, tonight we're doing our last storm surge, win or lose. I feel like it got in their heads because that was a huge game for them, huge game. And the Capitals end up winning, clinched the playoff spot, and, Carolina just left the ice, nowhere to be seen, no accountability there. Justin Williams just disappears, and it's like, you guys were doing this all season. You're having fun. It was helping you stay loose, and then just do this and come out like that in that game where they needed to win.
Were they going to come out and do a storm surge after Jakub Vrána and Nick Dowd scored third period? They were going to come out there after the loss and clap their hands
Win or lose, we're going to do this. I thought Kuznetsov was going to come in like bird flap on the ice. I mean, it was not good. We're going to have to see how they respond. But, yeah, they're in some trouble right now.
All right, they have a back-to-back this weekend, though. They're versus Philadelphia at home and then at Pittsburgh on the road Sunday. I really feel like, Pete, those are two winnable games. I'll tell you why. Number one, because Philly's starting Cam Talbot over Carter Hart, which to me, again, I am not a head coach here, but that makes no sense. If you want to be the Flyers and win games, you got to start Carter Hart. And then their game against Pittsburgh, Evgeny Malkin skating. He looks good in those clips on Twitter, but I don't know if that means he's any closer to returning. So let's assume that they might be without Letang or Malkin for that game Sunday.
Yeah, we were just talking about it the other day. Carter Hart tied with Carey Price, I think, with a .920 save percentage for the best, I think, under 20 goalie through his first 15-plus games. That's magnificent production for the rookie. And I think that, yeah, they're just creating a mess for themselves, the Flyers, in the short and long term by starting players like Elliott and Talbot who are on contract years. But, yeah, for Pittsburgh, I think that's going to be a tough game because I was looking at Matt Murray. He was banged up earlier in the year. He was really underperforming. But when he came back from that injury, since then he has like a .933 save percentage and has won the vast majority of his game. I think like 26 out of 32 or something like that. So this is one of the hottest goalies in the league. Carolina needs to win this game against Philly. That's the bottom line. If they don't, they might very well miss the playoffs.
Yeah, it was interesting what you said about Murray because people really haven't been talking about him as much just because of with the way Pittsburgh's been playing and the injuries, Malkin, the Letang. But Murray, as you said, he's been excellent since that, the injury we had, earlier in the year was like Casey DeSmith. Maybe he'll steal starts and all this stuff. But Murray he's in that form now where he helped them win, Stanley Cup back-to-back years.
So the only question I have for Carolina this weekend is, you mentioned it earlier, Dave. McElhinney's been struggling a lot in his previous six starts. Would you consider going Mrazek both days? Let's say they roll him out on Saturday against Philly. Would you have him in the lineup Sunday too versus Pittsburgh?
I think the way you have to approach this is as if it's the playoffs. You start Mrazek, and if he gets the W, you roll him, mm-hmm. You play him again. There's no reason not to. You need all the points you can get. If he delivers, you start him again back-to-back. Yes, absolutely. You don't make the playoffs, what's the big deal? You're going to run him into the ground before you you get there? You need to get there first. You want to start him two in a row, I'm fine with that.
Take a lesson from the Colorado Avalanche. Pick the better goalie and start him from here on out. Mm-hmm. It's worked out really well for Philip Grubauer. Peter Mrazek has been the much better goalie, not only in his career, but also over the past month of the season. It hasn't been close. So start Mrazek in both games. That's what I would do.
I'm with you guys on that one. And I would have him in my lineup on Saturday to be an optimist, to have a big bounce back spot for the Canes. I like that play in DFS. But other goalie news in the league, Ben Bishop, stop me, guys, if you've heard this before. He is day-to-day with a lower body injury. Anton Khudobin came up big, got the W against Calgary. He was credited with that, and then got another W on Thursday against the Edmonton Oilers. They've got four games remaining against non-contending teams. Khudobin's got to be a must-own player, right?
He is. He's been amazing this season. He's got a .925 save percentage. He started both games back-to-back nights. I mean, he played both games after relieving Bishop, who's injured again. We always say that, Ben Bishop injured again. So Anton Khudobin, I don't know how he would fare in the first round of a playoff series, but Dallas at least could rest assured, know that they have things covered from here on out. They're pretty much, they're not locked into a playoff spot, but looking much better. Remember a couple of days ago, entering this four-game road trip, we were looking at them going into that Winnipeg game as a little bit of a dicey pick. I mean, if the Coyotes didn't go in a tailspin and if the Avs came back down to earth, but Dallas has solidified themselves among the playoff field just about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because all the talk this season has been about how much Trotz and the Islanders goalies have turned it around and how good they are, but Dallas is second in the league this year in goals against, and we all know how bad their goalies have been the past few seasons. It's been why their defense and goalies have been why they don't make the playoffs, how bad they are, and Bishop and Khudobin have been one of the best, I think, tandems in the league. You throw either of them out there, they do well. But as you said, with Bishop hurt the way he is, I think Kudobin's the guy that will get three of the four starts or whatever it is. And then when they make the playoffs, Bishop, it's his team again. But you're right. I think Khudobin, he's a great player to have this final week of the season, even if just in DFS.
And for fantasy owners prepping for next season already, that is another handcuff tandem that is going to ride you to the championship. Just think about it. They have three defensemen this season with 10-plus goals. They might be the only team. I think they're the only team in the league that has that. And their forward lines, if they get Zuccarello re-signed there or if they bring in more depth scoring, that could be 20-plus wins for each of those goalies next season.
They're the second-best team in the Western Conference since the All-Star break. Zuccarello hasn't even played. Rupi Hintz is a point-per-game player over his past 9-10 games. It's no coincidence that now things are starting. They're starting to look like the dominant team that we thought they might be offensively. And, of course, the goaltending, if Bishop comes back, I mean, they are that interesting thing in the Central Division right now. They are 2 points behind the Blues, who are 4 points behind the Predators and the Winnipeg Jets. So this is all for seeding now. What if it's Dallas as the three seed in the Central? It's very feasible.
I said this earlier today, and I've said it for a little over a month now. I think the Blues are going to win that Central Division. Their schedule's just been so easy. They're 4 points back. You look at that, the game Winnipeg had last night. They had total control, and they just blew it in regulation to the Islanders. The Blues have the Rangers on Friday, the Devils on Saturday. I mean, that seems like two easy wins, no matter which goalies are in there. And if they can get that one seed, you know, they could be playing a wild card like a Dallas in the first. That could be the matchup there.
So, and that would be a really good series. I mean, I think we deserve to watch that series. The one team in the Central, though, that I'm keeping my eye on right now, Gabe Landeskog and the Colorado Avalanche, he could come back on Friday. I think, to me, captain coming back, Tyson Barrie said it the best the other day. He said, we all elevated our game when he was out of the lineup.
It was 6-2-1 in nine games without this guy. I mean,
which is unbelievable because he, not only in fantasy, but for general hockey too, he was the glue guy the whole season long. Absolute career year for him. He's back in the lineup, let's say Friday night. That, to me, is a team that you wouldn't want to face. They've got a hot goalie. Their captain's back. They've got two lines that can score now that Kerfoot's going. So that, to me, is a team that is a total wild card now. If they get in the playoffs, I do not want to play the Colorado Avalanche.
And Rantanen's still out, too. I mean,
imagine if
Landeskog comes back here, looks like the top 15-20 fantasy player that he was prior to his injury. He's still ranked that high.
Yeah.
I checked. He's still, like, 18th in Yahoo. So he had 30-plus goals before the injury. He hits, physical presence, one of the smartest players in the game, I would think, after talking to him at the All-Star break. And I think that, yeah, I think the Avs are going to be a little dangerous here, especially with the steady goaltending.
Yeah.
You have to be honest. And Tyson Barrie, we just put him in the top 50 overall. Who's producing better than Tyson Barrie among defensemen right now?
Nobody. Only Victor Hedman, but everyone on the Lightning's producing. So I think that what Tyson Barrie is doing when you compare apples to oranges is actually a little bit more impressive given the situation. But going back to the Blues, Dave, I know you love them. That it would be the best case scenario. If they win the Central, then you're looking at, though, a first-round matchup between Winnipeg and Nashville. That would be absolutely insane.
Should be reserved for the conference final, although it really won't happen because of the way the format is these days. But
that would be the best case for the
that
Blues,
would be,
though, right?
Yes.
Like, hands down, they should be targeting to win out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's going on with Winnipeg? I mean, I was a little down on them. I've been a little down on them lately. The Islanders came back and beat them. 3 goals in the third period, 2 goals in the final minutes.
And just when you thought Connor Hellebuck was kind of trending up a little bit, like, okay, he's getting into playoff form.
Yeah, two shutouts in 3 games, and then he does this.
The worst third period, maybe he's played all season long.
And that's what I keep saying. I mean, we don't know what the seeding's going to be, but match Dallas up if they have Zuccarello back against the Winnipeg Jets, that is not up for debate who has the better goaltending right now. And Dallas, like we said the other day, walked into their building the other day and it wasn't even close. So this is trending in the wrong direction for Winnipeg at the most important time of the year.
And Winnipeg does have a difficult game against the Canadiens coming up. That's an important game for both teams because Montreal needs all the points they can get, and Winnipeg wants to win that Central Division.
It's hard to know who you should start in that game, and that's why I think DFS is pretty difficult this time of year when you're picking teams that are kind of struggling. They should be a lot better than they actually are. It's hard to look at a Winnipeg like I did on Thursday night. I wanted both Patrick Laine and Connor Hellebuck in my lineup, but that's aggressive, especially when they're not firing on all cylinders. So this might be a game for me, Habs, Jets, that I kind of sit back a little bit on this one. Maybe I have a Thomas Tatar who's been playing well for Montreal, and maybe I have a Mark Scheifele steady hand for the Jets, but I can't go crazy on the stacks here in this one.
It's really tough to gauge Winnipeg right now because some nights they break the slate, and then other nights, even their top guys, Wheeler hasn't really been producing too much lately. We had the Kyle Connor, Kevin Hayes thing going for a few games. They let us down, as did Hellebuck on Thursday night. So, yeah, my trust in this team is not high at all. I think they're subject to a first-round upset based on what I've seen lately.
So after that win against Winnipeg, the Islanders have the Sabres, and there's a lot of interesting storylines there. Number one, we have Lanner, who's been playing really well, but they also Cizikas with 20 goals. I mean, this is not something you thought at the beginning of the season that this guy would be producing, but I've put him in some lineups, and he's definitely produced there.
I have not put an Islander in one of my lineups, I think, since October or November, because I've been, like, just convinced that there's going to be a falling out of epic proportions here. And just when it looked like, you said, just when it looked like they were down and out, their offense had completely dried up, boom, they come back, third period win against the Winnipeg Jets. Now, caution, I'm not sure if that says more about the Jets this time of year than it does the Islanders, but you got to give credit where credit is due. To come back on the road like that in the third period, you've got to be able to score to do that, and they were certainly able to do that with Casey Cizikas.
This team has bounced back all year. They haven't lost more than 3 games in a row all season. They got shut out against the Jackets the other night. A little bit, you know, tough spot on Thursday night against the Jets, and they delivered. I mean, I have a question for the goalie master here. Who would you start in game one? Because these goalies have been neck and neck, but it seems like Leonard's getting the mojo back right now.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, he was just nominated for the Masterton the other day too because of how he was how great his season was. But I think I'd start Thomas Greiss. He has the playoff experience. He's played for them there before, and I believe he was in goal when they did win that playoff series against the Florida. So
that's true.
I would give it to him. I'd give him game one.
I like Greiss too on that one. I think if they do play Pittsburgh in round one, Greiss just has more familiarity there. Nothing against Robin Lehner. The story has been tremendous this season. I went on a positive rant about him on the network earlier when you and I were on the live show, Pete. Right. I think this player is tremendous, but Greiss, there's just something about him. It's more of a gut feeling that he can kind of shut things down, keep the team at bay, where I feel like Robin Lehner's a little hot and cold. He'll make some brilliant saves, but then is susceptible to the leaky goal out of position. Whereas Greiss, sure, he might let in two, but he's a kind of a steady 60 minutes kind of goalie.
Well, for their defensemen, we were talking about last show how they've disappeared. Ryan Pulock, how about that? 3 assists in the big win against the Jets. So Ryan Pulock, we docked him, I think, 15 spots in the D rankings. Maybe he read them and he bounced back.
He had a personal grudge against us.
I think a game that I'm really looking forward to is the Blue Jackets at Predators, because that will have a great playoff feel. We know both teams need the points. We talked about how well the Blue Jackets played, but I mean, the Predators, they're still fighting for that position too. And I think a Bobrovsky-Rene matchup there, we could have a nice goalie matchup, but there's a lot going on there.
Preds are on a second of a back-to-back, though, and they're off. Offense is pretty dry. I mean, I look at their lines and I'm like, meh, they're decent, but they don't jump out on paper to me as like, whoa, they could really blow you away and score a couple goals in a period. It seems like their defense is so heavy that they don't have room for the forwards there.
And in speaking of Columbus's forwards, how about some of those guys showing up for maybe the first time all season? I know Wennberg had an assist. Dubinsky got involved in the scoring. There was Bjorkstrand has been really hot. Bjorkstrand's a guy to target in your DFS lineups over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He has 5 goals in his past 5 games and had 2 in the monster win against the Habs.
I mean, Columbus is just lucky to have a favorable schedule. That's the bottom line here. I'm not looking at this Columbus team any differently. Dropping 6 on the Habs, how many teams have done that this season, right? I mean, there's been a handful. The Habs are just too up and down. Columbus, they've got the good fortune on their side. 5 games left. They do play 4 on the road, but their combined winning percentage of the opponents is .518. So they're pretty much a lock at this point, unless they go off the rails.
How about Cam Akazu? Is it 39 goals? I mean, the quietest 39 goals. He's going to score 40-something, and no one's even mentioning how good he's been. So consistent. One of the most consistent fantasy players, I think, and he never gets the respect he deserves.
I was just looking at the shots on goal leaders in the entire league, and Cam Atkinson's like 7th or 8th. So
yeah, you would never have known
that.
This
guy, year after year, regardless of the circumstances, is delivering the shots, the goals. He's really taken it up to a new level the past 2 years.
He deserves some high praise there. But again, to repeat, I am not a fan of this Blue Jackets team. I don't think what they did was smart at all. And you don't need an MIT in engineering to figure that one out. This team is going to be in shambles next season. So let's sit back, let them enjoy their moment now if they do squeak into the playoffs. But then when they get bounced in round one, I'm done talking about the Blue Jackets this
year. What about the chances of the Predators getting bounced in round one? Is that realistic?
That's a good question. But I think at the end of the day, you look at two teams in the West that I'm concerned about. Number one is Winnipeg. Number two is Nashville. Those two teams, it wouldn't surprise me if they swept their first round matchup too. If they get hot, things click, Philip Forsberg breaks out with a hat trick in his first game, I look at this team as the new favorite in the West all of a sudden. That's the difference between them and the Blue Jackets, who have really nothing going outside of Matt Duchene, who's one of the streakiest players in the NHL.
For Saturday's slate, Blue Jackets against the Predators. Mm-hmm. Do you look at Seth Jones at all because of the narrative matchup?
And definitely.
It hasn't really lived up to expectations here over the past couple of months, but
yeah, he,
big game
what's
potential.
What's interesting about that is that, and I don't know, Dave, if you were with me on this. I think you like Bobrovsky more after they made all the moves at the deadline. I liked Seth Jones as the player to benefit most from those moves, and he really didn't do that. I'm not sure how he wasn't a beneficiary of that production, but to me it was almost like he was better off playing 30 minutes a game as like the standalone guy on the team.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's really weird because you wouldn't think that. You'd think they have all these new offensive players, he'll still be just as steady as he can, but he might, you know, more assists or just more whatever. But I think you're right. I thought that this would be more beneficial for him than it, you know, may have actually been.
Bobrovsky, though, really turned things around. So that, to me, is the wild card with this team. If he plays like a Vezina-caliber goalie like he has been the past 5-6 starts, that could be a big difference maker for that team.
But the problem we know has always been the playoff.
I know.
Five wins and 15 losses.
He's done.
I think he's like 5-15 in the postseason. He just can't
How do you bounce back from that? It's not like he's had a couple flashes of brilliance. It's like every single playoff start he has, boom, leaky goal in the first period. The team scrambles to get back into the game, and then boom, second period, bar down, Bobrovsky smashing the stick over the net. Like, it just doesn't have a good ring to me.
One thing that's crazy, we're talking so much about Columbus the past few days. Like, Duchene has been non-existent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been some days on the top line, some days on the second line. But is he going to show up in these big games in the final week? I mean, look at these matchups here. They're playing the Rangers on the road. They're playing Buffalo, I think, on the road.
That's
and they're
easy.
Playing Ottawa, his former team, on the road. So he's going to have some multi-point games here, get the ball
rolling a little
bit.
You know he's going to show up for the Ottawa game. I mean, call Patrick Waugh. Let's get him on the horn for this one, see what he thinks about Matt Duchene in these kind of, like, meaningless games. He's going to show up to Ottawa. He's going to have 3 points against them. That's a DFS slam dunk. But this is not a player that you can trust at all whatsoever when the big game comes around. So let him have his big multi-point game against Ottawa, but then game one of the playoffs, where's Matt Duchene?
That'll be a different story once the playoffs come around, if they make it.
All right, enough of the Blue Jackets. I think we're all tired of talking about them. So I want to try something with you guys, because in DFS, I'm always looking for, you know, a player that other teams' players might not have. So I'm going to just read you 2 stat lines, and you're going to tell me which player you'd rather have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. First one, we're talking about defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
2 goals, 3 assists, plus 3, 12 shots on goal this past week. That's player A. Okay. Player B, 2 goals, 1 assist, minus 1, 11 shots, 2 power play points.
Four games. I want the latter. I want the power play wizard.
You want the power play wizard. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't care about plus minus in DFS. Nobody does.
Okay, that's fair. Pete?
The first one, the more points.
Okay, great. So the second guy, Rob, was Alex Edler, Vancouver Canucks.
That's what I want.
The first guy. Brett Kulak, Pete. Montreal, wow. A goal and an assist each of the last 2 games. And he's 12 shots on goal. I mean,
you spot the fraud if they don't play on the power play.
I mean, he's been playing well. I like the points, too, I think.
So you guys are telling me that you would rather roster Brett Kulak. I didn't even know he was on the Habs. You're telling me you'd rather roster Brett Kulak than Alex Edler, who we spent 10 minutes on dissecting the beauty of this guy's play the past 2 seasons for the Canucks.
I like Edler, too. Okay, here's a good one, though. We're going forwards now. 2 forwards. Past 4 games, 4 goals, 1 assist, 3 power play points, 15 shots on goal. Other guy. 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 shots.
Number 2 games. Is Barkov. Number 1, Smith. I know you're going to do this because we had a debate last week.
I actually did have them next, but that is not either of them. So
I was about to expose you.
So those 2 guys. This is a good one, I think. Which of those 2 guys do you?
So the first one had the shots and the power play
15
points.
Shots, 4 goals, 3 power play.
And what was the second stat line?
6 points, none on the power play, only 6 shots on goal.
I mean, that's probably just a good player that's slumping.
Okay, so the first A, Rickard Rakell, playing great. Second guy, Brian Gibbons on the Senators. He's put up a pretty good stat line.
Oh, boy.
Cheap. If you want some cheap, you can't always get the most expensive players,
okay,
right?
Okay, let's get the next scenario here, Dave.
Okay, the next scenario. Okay, Rob, this is for you.
Okay.
2 goals, 3 assists, 6 shots in 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
4 goals, including a shorthanded goal.
Oh, and I wonder who this is. I wonder who this one is. The inflection of your voice says player B is Riley Smith.
Player B is Riley Smith, who I still agree has been better than Sasha Barkov.
Okay, but here we go. This is good. The Bruins play the Panthers Saturday. Barkov, Huberdeau combined for 4 points against the Senators Thursday. So, I honestly, even though they're playing the Bruins, Marchand's playing so well. He's got 97 points this season. Pasternak had a hat trick the other night. But I think the Panthers can match them in terms of offense in this game.
This is probably going to be another 7-5 game.
Yeah, right?
I don't want to touch either of those goalies in that game.
No. I would get Barkov and Huberdeau stack, and then I would also get Marchand, Pasternak stack, and then have no money to spend. Then I would get the Brian Gibbons and the Brett Kulak. What goalie is coming up on a conditioning stint that we can get in?
You know who's a good pick with the exposure to Barkov is Dadonov. He scored again.
Yes.
And he's been decent shot volume. He's been scoring more times than not, and he's much cheaper. You don't want to spend too much money on the Florida Panthers because they are kind of an enigma, but yeah, I would go Dadonov rather than spending up for all these Huberdeau and Barkov and, spending all your money on a shaky team.
So that's all we got there. We're going to time to ping pong some players here. I'll throw one at you who I really like.
Okay.
Chicago Blackhawks, Erik Gustafsson. 55 mm-hmm. points, which is ranks 10th in the league. I was looking at this. His shooting percentage is 11.0. He plays on the power play. He just always seems to be in the right spots. I mean, when you can get exposure to those Blackhawks players. And I just think he's been underrated, personally, just because of how the Blackhawks have been struggling.
Some people on Twitter were asking me the other day, who should I keep for next year? They had Morgan Riley, John Carlson, Erik Gustafsson, and they had a bunch of players like Rantanen, Zibanejad, whatever. I said, you got to keep the 3D, man. You can draft forwards in abundance any single round, first round, last round. I got to bring it in the 10th round, 11th round this year. I got Elias Lindholm in the last round this year. I got Timo Meier in the 11th round this year. You can get forwards anywhere. You cannot draft. Erik Gustafsson could have 75 points next season.
Yeah, he will.
John Carlson could have 75 points next season. Morgan Riley has 75 points this season. And you're telling me that, okay, let's take Mikko Rantanen and Zibanejad and Brandon Gallagher. Those are good players. But the defense position, there's 20 guys that can make a difference for you. Those are 3 of them right there.
I mean, when you look at the scoring this year, 5 players already over 100 points? Like you said, any forwards are going to be able to score there. The defensemen, when you can get them, You're right.
And one of those 20 guys is Torrey Krug. It was good to see him back with the two-assist game and one on the power play. I think he's a lineup lock in this game against the Florida Panthers. I also like Marcus Johansson coming back. Didn't do any damage in the first game, but probably going to be a nice value pick regardless of whatever format you play, season-long DFS.
I'm breaking out the wallet. I'm getting Ovi for 5-0, bank it on Saturday against the Lightning. You know why? Here's contrarian storyline for you guys. The hot stick celebration back in maybe 08 or 09 when he was over behind the net, flaming his stick down on the ice. That happened in Tampa Bay. It's happening again Saturday. He's going to have not one but two goals.
Okay, I got one goalie pick for you because I am the goalie master, so I have to throw that out there. The Blues tomorrow on the second of a back-to-back will be starting Jake Allen against the Devils. I've seen the Devils play the Blues the last three times they were here. Jake Allen's career numbers against the Devils, 6-0-0, 9-52, 117, two shutouts. The guy's allowed 7 goals in 6 games against them. I think he's a lock.
That's as good of a lock as you're going to get, Dave.
And I like two other defensemen. If if Krug doesn't fit your price point, Shabbat has points in 4 straight, 3 straight since coming back from injury. And then Ryan McDonough, we were looking at the plus minus. I mean, he leads the NHL in plus minus, plus 38. He has 9 points in his past 9 games. I mean, he's reaping the benefits of a strong team, but Ryan McDonough is a nice DFS play as well.
And you need Leon Draisaitl in your lineup too. Get out the wallet again for this one. First duo, him and McDavid, to hit over 100 points since Backstrom and Ovi hit it in 2009, 2010. So get out the wallet. The Ducks are on a second of a back-to-back in that game. Leon and McDavid, they're going to finish with 120 if they keep playing teams like that.
One question I had, so a lot of injuries still persisting in that Golden Knights and Sharks situations. They play each other on Saturday. Do you think this game has any meaning, considering they could start playing each other more often in a week and a half? Or do you think, I mean, the Sharks, to me, they got embarrassed again against the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. They have 2 games this weekend. I think they do have meaning with the Golden Knights on Saturday and the Flames on Sunday.
I think they definitely have meaning, especially because the Sharks remember what happened last year where the Golden Knights took them out in 5 or 6 games, whatever it was, in that second round. And San Jose has not been playing well. 7 in a row they've lost. So this is a big game for them. These are big games for them.
To me, this one feels like this is the time that San Jose puts their foot down, put it on the gas, get something going. They know how important it is. Joe Pavelski could come back in that game, which would be monumental for that team. They need a veteran guy like that back in the lineup. We don't know about Erik Karlsson yet. Do not expect to see him again the regular season. But I think the Sharks really make a statement out of the game. They step up big, and they take that outright.
It'll be interesting to see if Fleury plays, of course. Martin Jones continues to flounder. Sharks played better in the second and third periods of that game, but the early slow start for Jones just becoming an all-too-familiar trend.
So we've got you covered schedule-wise for next week, too. Hit us up on Twitter at NHL Reese for myself, at NHL Jensen for Pete, and then at Dave Satriano. Is that your handle? I don't even know what your handle
at
is.
At David Satriano, but I may change it to at Goalie, at Goalie Master. From one R&R, Rob Reese will go to another, rate and review us. And how about checking out the NHL Executive Suite podcast also?
And check out the NHL Fantasy Instagram that Rob mentioned earlier. We're doing stories almost every episode now. We're giving our picks, so check it out. Big thanks to the Goalie Master. For Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.